Welcome to Aging in Place Strategies and Answers with Linda Prio. Will it be possible to remain in my home as I age? Do I feel safe in my home? How do I figure out how much support I will need when my health needs start to change? What if I decide to move into a community instead? Which community will meet my needs now and in the future? Who will play a role in helping me with decision making? Do you ask yourself these same questions? Aging in Place Strategies and Answers can help you gain practical knowledge that will help you create your own aging in place roadmap. If you are already a care partner, a power of attorney, or in crisis mode with your aging in place strategy, you will learn what you need to know that you don't know. For over 20 years, I have been marketing aging in place services to clients and educating families and healthcare professionals in how to put aging in place strategies into place. When you utilize aging in place, you are allowed to choose where you want to live and make those decisions so that you can retain your quality of life. Welcome back to Aging in Place Strategies and Answers. Now, you all have been listening for a while, and you have heard me mention the name Continuum. And so I want to fully disclose that I am still employed by the Continuum family of services, and that I have spent part of my marketing career with Continuum. And remember that I have also mentioned in my podcast, as I've tried to educate you, about non-medical care services that can be used as a solution when more care is needed and you want to choose to age in place at home. Well, it is my pleasure today to have the owner and president of Continuum with me today. Barth, please say hello to my listeners.
Linda, thanks so much for having me. Looking forward to the conversation.
Absolutely. Barth and I have worked together for over 12 years, and we have spent many years educating clients, seniors, and professionals on the benefit of choice and aging in place at home. And today, Barth is going to give us some new thoughts on how to create an assisted living model of care in your own home. You will also learn more about other care models that can be care solutions when the person that you're caring for has dementia. Barth, will you please give my listeners a snapshot of your educational background and what led you to spend your career serving seniors through a variety of service options?
Well, happy to do it. Thanks, Linda, again for having me. You know, I think in life, God gives you certain talents that you use to go into the vocation that you choose. And when I was younger, I just always enjoyed being around older adults. I enjoyed just being around them, hearing their stories. And so when I was younger, I started, you know, volunteering in nursing homes, and I realized that I'd like to do something in that industry, but I didn't know what. And at the time, there was just skilled nursing facilities and not a lot of independent apartments for seniors, or definitely not assisted living. And so went through school and went to undergrad. It was a business major. But every project that I had that I could choose what I could pick, I would always try to figure out. Basically, I would do a project on like nursing homes for the future. Just like where the industry is going, where the services are being provided. And so then I went into healthcare consulting after undergrad, and then realized that I was too far removed from helping people. And so went back and got a dual degree. There's an MSW MBA concentration in gerontology, full program for 3 years for graduate school. And when I graduated there is when I, you know, first started our home care company to really be able to add a social work model to helping people stay in their home, because most people, you know, it's less than 15% of the population end up in a retirement community when they're older to get care. Most people get care in their individual home. And so our goal has been to try to expand that through the years to provide those services to people.
And to make care accessible, no matter if it was private pay or whether it was folks that are living on, you know, low income.
Correct.
And so now maybe you understand why Barth and I get along so well is because we always have that high level view of what's going on, where are we going, how is this evolving? And Barth, you started Continuum in 2002, and mm-hmm. I think, and I enjoyed joined you in 2011, and we have seen a lot of changes in healthcare delivery, but we are continuing to see an evolution post-pandemic. And so I'm so glad that you're listening in today to hear what Barth has to tell us, because when he was sharing his vision, I said, you've got it. You have your finger right on the pulse of what is going on. Barth, I always like to ask my guests three questions that will help my listeners get another tool in their tool belt, because I am a firm believer that knowledge is power and that knowledge helps people move forward in their roles as decision makers. Making that first call, reaching out to somebody can be very difficult, but once you do it and you know what is in the path, then it just makes it easier to get started. Now, remember that Continuum provides non-medical private pay care services in the home. They also offer nurse visits to compensate or to add a service component that is medical, as well as nurse case management, which can be different than what other case management companies offer. Now, how can people use those services, non-medical private pay, nurse visits, and nurse case management, to their advantage when they are thinking about aging, want to age in place at home, see assisted livings on every corner, wonder what they're missing, but now how to bring this front and center into their own life?
No, it's a good question. So the way we look at it is that our services are to help people figure out how to stay independent at home. And most people that are realizing that their spouse or their mom or dad or someone in their family that needs care, they're starting to realize that at the beginning stages when they don't need 100% care, where they need some services to be able to stay independent in their home. And that's where it's the best time to reach out to a company like ours, because if you notice, say, for example, if someone's a little forgetful and you want a care manager to come and do an assessment of your mom or your spouse to see where they are mentally, to put together a game plan to be able to help your loved ones stay at home and give you the tools to know how to solve that problem, that's where the care management along with the private duty home care makes sense, because you don't have to usually have 24-hour care right at the beginning.
Correct.
It's not like we would go to a plumber and tell a plumber exactly what we need done with our house. We would have them come out and assess and give us a bid and tell us, hey, this is the situation, this is what you need. And so just look at our services the same way, is that everybody at some stage in life is going to need some type of care, and calling us to have us come out and do an assessment to help give you a framework and a blueprint is tremendous knowledge for families to really see what they need to do to keep their loved one safe.
Absolutely. And it also stills the other voices that are around you saying, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. And I always hesitate, believe it or not, I always hesitate to give people advice, but guidance is different. And that's what you're really suggesting here is guidance, because everybody else who's saying, do this, do that, do this, is not in your exact situation. Every client that we talk to at Continuum is in a different situation, is in a different place, and needs maybe a similar tool, but possibly tweaked to be appropriate. And that's what you're saying when you don't try to do your plumbing yourself.
Well, yeah. And then most people think a commitment to their spouse to keep them in their home is meaning that they have to do the services.
Yes.
And just like if I want to stay independent in my home, I'm not trying to be a roofer, a plumber, an electrician. I'm still in my home. I need professionals to come in and give me some guidance.
Absolutely. Well, now the Continuum model of care provides caregivers in the home for families when they're looking for respite and safety oversight when a loved one or someone they're caring for has a dementia diagnosis. We've been doing this for over 20 years.
Correct.
and have been very successful at doing that. But what year was it that you created Family Partners?
The Day Center was 2008.
So in 2008, what was part of your thinking, your process? How did you arrive at the fact that I think dementia can be done better? I think we can provide another solution when someone has a dementia diagnosis. And the Adult Day Program offers a secure environment. They offer socialization and stimulation, plus a nurse who can deliver meds if needed during the day, and a lot of other services that may be very difficult for you to access when your loved one has dementia. But that runs Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So you said to me one day, that's like a daytime assisted living program, right?
That's right.
So what led to the creation of Family Partners Adult Day?
So like you said before, we started our home care company in 2002, and we realized that people wanted to stay at home. And we realized that the majority of the population will always stay at home, but people are looking for options to make that possible and cost effective, but also being beneficial to their loved ones. And so what we did is we realized that half of our clients that we were helping in their home were forgetful. But when you're forgetful, sometimes having a caregiver in your house can be hard when someone's forgetful. It's hard to get them to understand why someone's coming into their home. And it's also hard to provide that stimulation. So when you're a spouse or your mom or dad has dementia and they're living with you, it is very hard to be a 24-hour caregiver, a 24-hour spouse, a child, a 24-hour cleaner, cooker, you know, just everything. It just, it's hard to be 24/7 without getting burnt out. And what we realize is that the socialization component is huge. And so that's why we started the Day Center, to provide socialization, supervision, and an environment where people could get a reprieve from being a 24/7 caregiver.
Yes. So I had care in my home through Continuum when my mother lived with me, and all I wanted was my house to myself, right? Because it's a lot. It's a lot to manage, and you need that break. And so clients that access the Adult Day Program could be adult children who are still going to work. It could be aging spouses taking care of another spouse. And it is also communities that are unable to, through no fault of their own, but they're finding that a resident here or there in their community needs additional stimulation. So what are some of the benefits that we've seen to the day program over the years?
You know, I think the biggest thing is the stimulation. So there's plenty of studies out there that show that individuals with dementia, if they're able to get mental stimulation outside of them being at home, just watching TV or hanging out with their loved ones, if they can get the mental stimulation, it will add a year to 2 years of their ability to stay independent. And a lot of families, because they feel guilty sending their loved one to the day center, they always downplay that benefit. But just recently, we had five individuals that came to our day center that were in a pilot program with WashU. And so every 6 months, they would go and get the mental cognitive test to see how they were doing. And before they started in our day center, every 6 months, they were declining. Then they came to our day center, and the first 6 months of being in our day center, in that program, their dementia, their deterioration flatlined.
Amazing.
It didn't get, so it flatlined, and the families came in, the doctor's like, what's going on? They're like, hey, my loved one's now going to the day center. When you work a muscle, your brain or your physical muscles, they do not have atrophy as much as one people that don't. And so a lot of people, the blessing, we had a wife that came in 2 weeks ago, and she said, my husband did better on the test than he did the last 6 months. So that was the first time we've ever seen it get better. Usually it flatlines, which is a blessing instead of deterioration. But the fact that people can be in a non-judgment zone with other people that are forgetful, it just is amazing how it works.
Yes, because we see even in community living that the person with dementia, the other residents acknowledge that something's not quite 100%. And so then they start alienating. They're not trying to be mean, but you know how when you don't have something that you can relate to another person with. And so what Barth just said was huge. When you can come someplace where you're welcome, you're greeted, you're going to be taken care of, and there's no judgment. Nobody knows the diagnosis that anybody else has, and all the socialization and all the stimulation provided in the day center is geared toward folks with dementia. And so I know even my mom came and she said, you know, I didn't know all the answers, but the other people helped me. And I remember we were touring a professional a couple of weeks ago, and Barth just stood there and looked, and he said to me, where would people be if they weren't here? And I said, they'd be at home in front of the TV, which is not a great babysitter. It's not a good babysitter for me, you, your children.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's just not a great babysitter. So please remember that adult day communities are available, and do focus on adults with dementia, but please tour those adult day programs and see what they offer. And price points are amazing, I think, aren't they, Barth?
Yes. I mean, adult day is the most cost-effective way to get care. It's equivalent to, say, a whole day at our day center with meals and nurse oversight and all the things that go on is equivalent to 3 hours of care in your home. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we have individuals that are receiving home care that come to the day center, people that just want to come to the day center and don't need any other services, and people that come from independent and assisted living facilities that come to the day center for that stimulation.
So no guilt here. You're actually doing something that could really help your loved one.
Now, a word from our sponsor.
The Neptune Society is the oldest and largest cremation service in the United States. For over 50 years, the Neptune Society has been proud to provide signature service to the families they've served. With a prearranged funeral plan, you can declare what you want done at the time of your passing, pay for it in advance, and not leave your survivors with the cost of your final arrangements. Call 314-266-2898. That's 314-266-2898.
Let's return to the podcast.
So in 2017, and this is a story that Barth has told me, that folks who were in the day center were saying that, you know, I wish you had a 24-hour solution now. So here we have care in the home, the progression, right, with the continuum, non-medical home care. We have the day center, which is a Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 program. And now folks that are participating in the day center, their loved ones are getting to mid to late stage dementia. And looking at Barth saying, what about a 24-hour solution? And so knowing Barth, that's when he started thinking, if I was going to do this, what would it look like? So tell us more about the Family Partners home model for dementia and how this can benefit residents.
No, so yeah, to your point, families kept on coming and saying, hey, you see a lot of these bigger retirement communities, which are, I think, a blessing to a lot of families. And I think the bigger communities are great if someone moves in on the assisted living side where they're not forgetful, and as they age in place, they're able to stay in that environment because that environment's already starting to be part of their long-term memory. Mm-hmm. And so they're able to transition into a bigger environment better. But where I think there's a gap and why we started our homes is that where people are coming from their home, individual home, getting services through an adult day center or home care, when they go to a higher level of care, because you're not used to living 24/7 in a hotel-like environment, people that are forgetful tend to then isolate themselves in their room. And because these bigger communities have usually a 1 to 15 staff to resident ratio, and everything is more hotel-like in its delivery of services, everybody's sitting at a four-top table. They're getting served restaurant style, and they don't know if I eat your meal or you ate my meal.
Right.
And so families, usually it was kind of religious in how people would do it, but usually 3 to 4 weeks into someone transitioning from our day center to the higher level of care, families would come back and say, you know, my spouse is just isolating in their room. We don't think they're eating well. We don't think they're hydrating well. This is a really big issue. We wish we had the day center, but 24/7. And so that's where we took an existing home in 2016. We bought it in the city of Manchester. We took an existing home, gutted it, turned it into an 8-bed assisted living facility to see if the concept would work. And then we realized that it did, and that people liked the model and they wanted the model. And so now we're up to 4 homes. The second, third, and fourth home we built from the ground up, just as we tweaked our model and figured out what the best environment would be for people with dementia. But the nice thing about our homes is that they are homes. Everyone eats at the dining room table together. We have the best staff to resident ratio in the state. It just, the care delivery is just like our day center, and you're able to get the services you need.
And one of Barth's chief aims is always more touch, not less. So your staffing ratio is one resident, one staff member to...
It averages 1 to 5, where the state averages 1 to 15 and 1 to 20 at night.
Yes. So you know, if you've been taking care of somebody with dementia at home, can you imagine taking care of 5 people? But if the state is only requiring, what did you
one
just
to,
say?
1 to 15 one in the day and 1 to 20 at night.
Yeah, absolutely. So high touch, because every resident's dementia is different. And I'll just tell a quick little story about a gentleman that I was observing when I actually was on a tour at the day center and noticed that one of the staff had brought him to the family dining room table where he was going to have breakfast. And then she got him seated and realized that he did not have his glasses. And so off she went back to his room to bring his glasses back and put them on him. And I just thought, being able to see is huge. Mm-hmm. And it can be very confusing for anybody, but especially for somebody with dementia. But anyway, she went and got his glasses because she knew he had glasses. And that's the value of that small ratio in that family home. And then she started giving him his medications. But I did see him not take one of his medications, but she just picked it up and took it over to the next aide who was going to be bringing his breakfast to him. And then he was able to go ahead and take his medication. And his day was just seamless. Mm-hmm. If he had not had that medication for the day, maybe that would have really caused him to have a bad day. And I think, unfortunately, again, no fault to anybody, it's just in a larger community with fewer staff, it's going to be difficult to observe.
It's that. Very hard. Like, we just hired maybe 6 months ago a CMT. And she came to our home and she's like, this is the best model. She said the community she moved from, she was responsible for giving 44 people their meds every morning. So the story you just gave, so we have the time to be able to interact and figure out how people are based on their mood for the day, based on their dementia. We can make that happen when you're dealing with 8 to 13 people in a home. When you're dealing with 44 people, it's an assembly line and you don't have time to do the interaction in life that is needed to help people with dementia.
Yes, because this gentleman was drinking from a cup, but he actually was better off drinking from a straw. And then the aide, when she brought it back, he took it right away. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that he didn't want to, but he was struggling to get it down.
Correct.
So that little tweak to me says a lot. And so we talk to people all day long, and I know that Barth has shared this with me, and I'm being in my own caregiving situations. It's really hard, out of love and compassion and care for the people that you're caring for, to actually say it's time for a day center or it's time to come to a community like Family Partners Homes. Even as lovely as all the communities are, it's hard to make that decision. And you kind of mentioned this story just a second ago about the gentleman who made a commitment to his wife at marriage that mm-hmm. he would be there to love, honor, and care for her, and felt like he was letting her down by bringing her to the day center. And I know that part of our discussion with folks that are trying to make these decisions is very compassionate. What are some things that you usually share with folks when they are having these feelings of guilt or a sense of loss or mm-hmm. turning over their loved one to you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the validation of the feeling is that most people, when we're talking, and we start off by just saying, we know that you're feeling guilty about putting your loved one in our home or in our day center. They don't feel the guilt as much in home care because the service is done in the home. But for whatever reason, the fact that they feel like they're bringing someone to a day center, even though it's been proven to show benefit to them, people's guilt trumps logic. Mm-hmm. And so it's
well said, Barth.
And so that's what we say. We always say in this situation, it's a wife that we're talking to feels guilty about bringing her husband. We just say that you're going to be the biggest impediment to your husband being successful at our day center or your husband being successful at our home. And we say that because usually people's knee-jerk reaction is that they're going to sabotage whatever is happening, whatever's a benefit. And so, yes, yeah, so we'll call people on the carpet and just say, hey, you know, if you can realize this is the best thing for your husband, just like if your husband was sick and you took him to the hospital, you're not feeling guilty that you took him to see a doctor. Right. Why are you feeling guilty by getting care that's going to make him feel better and give you the break that you need? 70% of the people that move in our homes come from other communities. They are our happiest customers because they realize what the alternative is. Once people come into our day center and they really truly believe, see the benefit that it's providing to their loved one, then it tends to take, their guilt kind of goes down, but there's that transition where a lot of people sabotage it and then the guilt gets the most of them and then they take their loved one home and then they put them in an environment that's just not stimulating.
Yeah, it was, I have a good friend and her brother was saying, hey, I think grandma needs more stimulation. And she twisted that in her mind to say, I'm not doing a good job.
Right.
And that's why Barth said, you know, facts trump or, you know, our feeling and emotions yeah. trump our logic yeah. in this situation. So because you're such a caring person and you want the best for them, there are great options out there. Everything is not negative like you hear. Remember that negativity gets blown into a bigger story than right. success. You know, correct. Many of us who listen to the news say, give me a success story.
Correct.
And that's what I see every day at Family Partners Home and also the Adult Day Program is that when dementia is involved, these kinds of services can be very successful, and they are something that you can feel very good about with your loved one. Well, I have a lot of caregivers that listen to my podcast, Barth, and I've been a caregiver, you're a caregiver, and I was just curious if you had a caregiver tip that you could share with my listeners today.
I think the biggest caregiver tip is to access resources. Don't think that you can do everything on your own. And really rely on professionals to get the help you need. I mean, there's car accidents every day and we still drive cars. Mm-hmm. So don't not do something because you hear horror stories. You know, pick a company that you know is approachable and that when things do happen, because like we always say, we're people helping people, there's going to be mistakes, that you can kind of make those mistakes into learning abilities and providing good services.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of professionals out there. So thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure working with you. And
thank you. I appreciate that. And all the work that you have done to create models where people have choice, they have independence, and can feel good about the services that you provide. So thank you for being with me today.
Well, thanks for the podcast because you're the one that's coming up with all the stuff and putting it into a format that's easy for people to listen to and learn.
Thank you. And I agree. This is nuts and bolts stuff. And this is not something that you're going to learn other places, but these are things that you need to be successful. So thanks for listening today.
Thank you for joining me today. Please remember that this podcast is intended as guidance and not advice. Share this podcast with friends and family who are currently in crisis mode or with people who would like to start developing their own roadmap for aging in place. Listeners, if you would like a deeper dive into a topic discussed during a podcast, please subscribe to Aging in Place Strategies and Answers, where you will be able to access premium content. Or if you would like to suggest a topic for this podcast, please contact me at linda.agingstrategies@gmail.com. As always, I value the time you spend with me.